Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 12, Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge, Text Number 19. Evam gati karma gatir visargo.
Evam gati karma gatir visargo.
Glano raso triks pasaha shrutischa.
Glano raso triks pasaha shrutischa.
Sankalpa vijnanam mahtabhimanaha. Sutram Raja Sattvatamo Vikaraha.
Sutram Raja Sattvatamo Vikaraha.
Evam Gadi Karma Gatir Visargo.
Evam Gadi Karma Gatir Visargo.
Grano Raso Triks Pasha Shrutis. Grano Raso Triks Pasha Shrutischa.
Grano Raso Triks Pasha.
Sankalpa vijnana matabhimanaha.
Sankalpa vijnana matabhimanaha.
Sutram rajasattva tamo vikaraha.
Sutram rajasattva tamo vikaraha.
Evam gadi karma gatir visargo.
Evam gadi karma gatir visargo.
Grano raso triks pasaha shrutischa. Sankalpa vijnana matabhimanaha.
Sankalpa vijnana matabhimanaha.
Sutram rajasattva tamo vikaraha.
Sutram rajasattva tamo vikaraha.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus. Gadi,
speech,
karma,
karma,
the function of the hands, gatihi, the function of the legs, visargaha, the functions of the genital and anus. Granaha,
smell.
Rasaha, taste. Drik, sight. Sparasaha, touch. Shrutihi, hearing. Cha, also. Sankalpa, the mind's function. Vijnanam, the function of intelligence. And consciousness. Atha,
moreover.
Abhimanaha, the function of false ego. Sutram, the function of pradhana, or the subtle cause of material nature. Rajaha, of the mode of passion. Sattva, goodness, tamaha, and of ignorance. Vikaraha, the transformation. The functions of the working senses, the organ of speech, the hands, the legs, the genital and the anus, and the functions of the knowledge acquiring senses, the nose, tongue, eyes, skin and ears, along with the functions of the subtle senses of mind, intelligence, consciousness and false ego, as well as the function of the subtle pradhana and the interaction of the three modes of material nature, all these should be understood as my materially manifest form. Purport. By the word gadi, or speech, the Lord concludes his discussion about his manifestation as Vedic vibrations and describes the functions of the other working senses. Along with the knowledge-acquiring senses, the subtle functions of consciousness, pradhana, and the interaction of the three modes of material nature. A Krishna conscious person sees the entire material world as a manifestation of the Lord's potencies. There is, therefore, no legitimate scope for material sense gratification, because everything is an expansion from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and belongs to Him. One who can understand the expansion of the Lord within subtle and gross material manifestations gives up his desire to live in this world. In the spiritual world, everything is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. The exclusive feature of the material world is that here, the living entity dreams that he is the Lord. Or that he is Lord, sorry. The same person, giving up this hallucination, finds no attractive features in the kingdom of Maya, and therefore returns home back to Godhead. Omar Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Mulitam Jaina Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhuttave Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svabhadandiyam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripata Mahamande Sri Gurum Tinatarayanam. Right. Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. This is the first of the what are described as the four seed slokas of the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. Krishna is the source of everything. Everything comes from him. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava. The one who is intelligent, one who has some intelligence or some power of discrimination, and who understands this point, that Krishna is the source of everything, becomes a devotee, basically. Which is what's mentioned here in the purport. You know, what's being described here are the different functions of the material elements. In the 30th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the Chetra and the Chetragya. Right. So in one sense that's what's being described here, or aspects of the Chetra and the Chetragya. The Chetra is the field of activities made up of the material elements, initially manifest in this pradhana form, a subtle form. The potentiality of material creation is contained within the pradhana, but inanimate or inactive until it is injected with the living entities by the glance of the Lord, as described in the Brahma Samhita, how the material energy is glanced over by the Lord, and in that way then the living entities are impregnated within the material energy. And by that glance, then everything starts to move. You know, without the spirit soul in the body, then nothing functions. You've got a dead body. But when the spirit soul is present in the body, then you have action. So similarly also, when the living entities are planted by the Lord. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, what is it? Aham bija pita prada, something like that. I'm a seed-giving father, right? What's referred to. Placed into the womb of the material energy. So, with the presence of the living entity, then all of these different, the material energy then manifests all of these different features. And the material energy then becomes like a vehicle for the living entity to exercise his independence, his free will, his character, his personality, his individuality is all manifest through the facility of the material energy. The facility is provided by the material energy. And Krishna says, Ishvaraha Sarvabhutanam Hridyesharjuna Tishtati Pranamayam Sarvabhutanam Yantrarudhani Mayaya. Ishvaraha, he's the controller. So there's the field of activities provided by the material energy, and you know, you have the gross material energy, you have the subtle material energy. Gross being Bhumi, Rapo, Nalo, Vayu, Kam. Right, they're the gross material elements. Then Mano, Budhir, Eva, Cha. The subtle material elements. From the gross material elements we get the senses. And the senses are of two types as described here. The Karmendriya and the Gyanendriya. The Karmendriya is described here first. The organ of speech, the hands, the legs, the genital and the anus. Right, these are our active senses. It's what we do stuff with. And then the knowledge acquiring senses, the Gyanendriya, the nose, the tongue, eyes, skin and ears. These are the senses by which we absorb information coming externally from us. Right? And then internally we have and the critical aspect, especially for devotees, internally we have the Mano, Buddhir and Ahankara. Well, here the word is called abhi, what is it? Abhimanaha? Is that what it says? Yeah, abhimanaha. Right, so, the subtle body, which is where we spend a lot of our time. we say, oh, he's in his head. Right. He's living in his head. My parents always used to, my mum used to get on my case, you know, what are you doing? Just living in your head. And you see that with young children. You know, they're just completely absorbed in their own world. You have to sort of like wake them up. Hello, there's the rest of us out here. So there's the impressions coming from external are then absorbed internally within the inner sense. The mind is the sense within, which absorbs all of the other senses, sensual activity. And has our short-term and our long-term memory and so forth. This is all the function of the mind. The absorption of all of the experiences that we have from the senses coming in, and then that gets mixed up with all of our memory. It's all going on within the mind. And as a result of that, that's actually, you know, the mind is the pivotal point, Prabhupada says. Mind is a pivotal point for a yogi or for a transcendentalist. That's where the major work has to be done in terms of purification. So, and along with these subtle functions, mind, intelligence, of course the intelligence is the power of discrimination, and the abhimanaha, the ego, or the identity that we have, is in... Material consciousness, thinking that we're a product of the material energy. You know, there's false identification with the body, the material body as the self. Whereas the real self is the eternal nature of the living entity, the spirit soul, his spiritual identity, siddha deha, is the eternal perfection that exists. Always, nitya siddha, Krishna Prem, it's always there. But eternal perfection of Krishna Prem is actually situated within the heart. But it's covered over. And especially covered over by this idea that we're the enjoyer, that we're the controller. Ultimately, if we analyse all of these different elements, the field of activities, the chetra and the chetragya, there's two chetragya, right? There's the super soul, that's Krishna, who's the chetragya, and then there's us. We're also, the living entity is also a chetragya. But of course, Krishna is he's the Paramatma, he's the super soul, or the super knower, if you like, the Sarvagya, the name of Krishna, Sarvagya. That means the one who knows everything. And then there's us, we are the Chetragya that knows just what's going on within our body, within our field of activities. Limited understanding. And one who realizes, that Krishna is the source of everything, then he's in a very fortunate position. Very, very fortunate position, because in that state of consciousness or understanding, one gets an opportunity to realize that, I'm not the Lord and Master of everything. I'm not the controller. But actually, I'm the controlled, or I'm the facilitated, if you like. I'm being facilitated by some greater power. We take birth, and, at some point in our lives, we wake up to the fact that we got here. Somehow we got here. And we think, how did I get here? What happened? Huh? What happened to me? Or why am I here? Who am I? Where am I going? These kind of questions come to a very fortunate person, actually. For many people, it never occurs to them, that they're just, I'm the body, and, they just go on and on and on, under the influence of the material energy, not ever thinking that there may be a higher purpose to existence. Not able to perceive their self as being something separate from the material energy. This is actually very fortunate. And to see that ultimately there's a control, or there are elements of control outside of myself, which I have no influence over. Right? Good people think like that, but then they can't ever separate themselves from what's happening. So a very fortunate person. Atato brahma jigyasa. Prabhupada would quote this Vedic aphorism. When you get in the human form of life, and this is really what it's for, what its purpose is to inquire, what am I doing here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of existence? To be inquisitive. Of course, that inquisitiveness is satisfied when one comes in the association of the devotees, because then the real purpose of existence can be discovered. Right? And we can understand that Krishna is the Ishvara, and I am... Actually, Prabhupada says we are Ishvaras. Right? We are Ishvara, because Krishna is Ishvara, and we are part and parcel of Krishna. Mame vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. We're also Ishvaras, but we are only little Ishvaras. Right? But the problem is, we like to think of ourselves as a big Ishvara, when we're actually only a little Ishvara. And even though, there's so many problems and life is really tough, we have a little bit of success, then we think, I'm in control. I'm in charge around here. We can take over the world. Right? We can take over the universe. But then, you know, as I was mentioning to the yogis at this yoga school, and then you have to go to the toilet with no control. I've got to go. Or, as Prabhupada says, you get a toothache. You know, there's... So, when one sees everything in relationship to Krishna, aham savasya prabhavo mata saravam pravartate iti mat bhavu bhajanti mam, one worships Krishna, then when one has a clear vision as to who is in charge or who is in control, then one's path is set. Isavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena chak tena bunjita magrida kasya sviddhanam. Right. This is Upanishad. First verse. But the second verse after the invocation. So, it explains how everything animate and inanimate within the creation is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. He's the Isavasya, which means he's a controller. The Isha means the controller of everybody, of everything, animate or inanimate. One who knows who is the controller, and that means the two controllers, right? There's the supreme controller, Ishvara, and then there's the little Ishvara, right? Who's also a controller. One who understands the relationship between the two knows what to accept as his own and what to leave alone, knowing that it belongs to others. Either it all belongs to Krishna and should be used for Krishna's service, but also understanding that each living entity gets their quota in which they can serve as well. The whole idea being that actually everything belongs to Krishna, that Krishna allocates for everyone their requirement so that they can exist. And you know, the material world is designed in such a way so that you're given a facility so you can enjoy your sense gratification, if you like. But one who understands that, no, actually there's an Ishvara, a supreme control. Okay, I'm a controller and I can use things for my purpose, but I should dovetail my purpose with the purpose of the supreme. You know, Prabhupada gives the example that one who thinks that the material energy belongs to him is actually a thief. Right? Whereas the devotee sees everything in relationship to Krishna and he understands everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna gives me a certain facility, a certain amount of facility he's provided for me, but because I know who the ultimate controller is, I use it for his benefit and I use it for mine as well. So in this sense we have the Ishvara, the supreme, the Paramishvara, the supreme soul, and he gives us some facility so that we can utilize it. And in that way, exercise our individuality. But at the same time, recognizing that we have a relationship with Krishna and that ultimately he's the supreme controller, we, as Prabhupada says, we dovetail our individuality with his. And so we have, you know, basically cooperation. Right? The devotees like to cooperate with Krishna. In fact, you know, Krishna is so inclined towards the devotees who want to cooperate with him that he wants to serve them. Because the devotees want to serve Krishna and Krishna wants to serve the devotees, even though he's the supreme controller. So, the devotees vision is such, and here it's mentioned in the purport, there is therefore no a Krishna conscious person sees I have to be careful with these glasses because you have to look at something right at the right point, otherwise it goes out of focus. And then the word entire becomes cosmic. A Krishna conscious person sees the entire material world as a manifestation of the Lord's potencies. So he sees every, you know, we try to see everything as Krishna's. Because we tend to look at things and think, ooh, that looks pretty good, I'd like to have that. You know, this is a conditioned way of seeing things. But with that vision, there is therefore no legitimate scope for material sense gratification, because everything is an expansion from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and belongs to Him. Of course, we could think, we could say, oh yeah, Krishna has given me this, therefore I can enjoy it. Huh? But if we take what belongs to Krishna and misappropriate it, right, then we're like a thief. If we take something and recognize, yes, it's Krishna's, and use it for Krishna's service, then that's called dovetailing. But if we see, oh yes, this is Krishna and he's given it to me, and therefore that's Krishna's mercy, and therefore I'll just do what I like with it, right, there's a little difference. You know, sometimes, you know, in devotees get this kind of mentality. It does happen. That, oh yes, Krishna's provided this for me, so therefore I can enjoy it. And, you know, I'm a devotee and Krishna's being kind and merciful, and so therefore it's okay. The sense gratification is okay. But of course, and in one sense, yes, sense gratification is okay, but according to the, you know, the yama and niyama, according to the rules and regulations of bhakti, yes, fine. But we have a regulated, we have a system by which we use everything that belongs to Krishna and which he's provided for us. And this is why the Vedic scriptures are there. This is why the whole construct of this discussion between Uddhava and Krishna focuses on, yes, the performance of Vedic rituals, gradually turning this propensity for sense gratification and personal enjoyment towards a notion of sacrifice and dedication of one's activities to a higher purpose and to serving Krishna. At the same time, we get an opportunity to exercise our individuality. There's sense gratification, if you like, or shall we say, there's sensual. Well, yeah, I think we can say it. There's sense gratification in devotional service. Right? What is it? Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavajam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So you know, the inclination or the tendency towards sense gratification outside of Krishna consciousness is deep within the heart of the living entity. But through the engagement of devotional service, the discipline, if you like, of devotional service, and through experiencing a higher taste by rendering service to Krishna, one gives up the inclination for personal sense gratification, and one learns to experience the higher taste in the reciprocal, you know, relationship between Krishna and us. Right? This is one of the unique features of Krishna consciousness, is the fact that we promote a personal relationship with Krishna, and that everybody has a relationship with Krishna. It's not that he's so far away, you know, God is so far away in the spiritual world that he's beyond our, you know, our connect. We can't connect with him. He's just so far away, it's hopeless. Right? But rather, you know, we say, no, everybody has a relationship with God, with Krishna. And if you engage in devotional service, you can uncover that relationship. So for those who actually see that Krishna is in control and they dedicate everything to serve him, then for them there is no question of sense gratification. They see every, you know, whenever they, like Prabhupada would say, you know, when you see your child's shoes, then you automatically think of, well, it's probably not appropriate. How many here, people here have got children? One. This is appropriate for you, Govinda Kund. Everybody else is too young. The Prabhupada would give this example. You know, if you see your child's shoes, then you immediately think of your child. So when a devotee sees the material energy, then he doesn't see, oh, look at that, I can enjoy it. He says, oh, look, that's Krishna's. Right? That's the vision of a devotee. He says, oh, look at that. Oh, that's wonderful. It's Krishna's. That's purified. That's a very purified. You know, when I see something and I think, ooh, that's interesting. I'm not thinking, oh, that's Krishna's. I'm thinking, oh, how can I get a one of those? Right? I'm always looking at the new JB Hi-Fi, you know, advertisements to see where the new computers are and the new telephones, see what's happening. Ooh, yeah. Right? I should get one of those. For Krishna's service, of course. Right? So, yeah. And then it expands here. One who can understand the expansion of the Lord within subtle and gross material subtle and gross material manifestations gives up his desire to live in this world. Right? Because, and then it mentions why. Why do we give up the desire, you know, if everything is Krishna's and we can use everything in Krishna's service, then, you know, we can stay in the material world. Actually, no. Why not? Because in the spiritual world, we get an opportunity to render service to Krishna eternally without the punctuation marks of material existence, you know, beginning, middle, and end, and birth, death, old age, and disease. You know, we hanker for those permanent relationships, permanent loving exchanges, a state of affection and love and appreciation. That's what we're looking for. And in the material world, you don't get it. In the material world, you get janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Right? Birth, death, old age, and disease. Not much to look forward to, really. Some enjoyment. You know, you get the highs of, you know, when the material pains are not so much, then we think, yay, this is quite wonderful, right? And then all of a sudden the material energy crashes in on us again and we bash down. So that's why the devotees don't want to stay in the material world. Okay, they can see everything in relationship with Krishna and they'll use it in Krishna's service, but actually they don't have a desire to stay here, especially not to enjoy material existence, because it isn't enjoyable. So therefore their inclination is to get out of the material world. Yeah. So it says here in the purport, one who can understand the expansions of the Lord within subtle and gross material manifestations gives up his desire to live in this world. In the spiritual world, everything is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And as it mentions, the exclusive feature of the material world is here, the living entity dreams that he is the Lord. You know, Prabhupada gives the example, we're like a madman. If you go to the psych ward in Alfred Hospital, then you find people thinking there are all sorts of things. You know, Prabhupada gives the example, you go to a madhouse and you find one man, he thinks he's Napoleon Bonaparte. Or in this day and age, you know, you're more likely to get people thinking that they're Jesus. Right? I'm some great prophet. Of course, as soon as he opens up his mouth and you realise he's a madman. Right? Prabhupada says, this is the defining feature of a person is how they speak. So when he opens up his mouth, then we understand this man's mad. So we're like that. We're all thinking we're this and we're that. I'm an Australian, I'm a male, or I'm a female, or whatever. We're all thinking. Based on this material body, we're thinking I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing. And with this underlying characteristic of, yes, I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer of material existence. But the last, and this is one of the few purports in which the word hallucination exists in the Bhagavatam. There's not very many. A sane person giving up this hallucination, because it's basically what a madman's, mad person is just suffering from hallucination, finds no attractive features in the kingdom of Maya and therefore returns home back to Godhead. So, this Maha Mantra actually is the cure, is the antidote for this madness, this day and age, actually. The medicine, what is it? Enechi Oshadi Maya Nasi Baro Lagi, something like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? And this is basically what we're doing. We sleep. We're asleep. Most people are asleep to their original identity. And in that sort of sleeping, in an unconscious state, they're thinking, I'm the enjoyer and I'm the controller, without looking at the reality. And a sane person gives up this mentality. And, you know, seeing that ultimately everything is under the control of Krishna, they then want to work according to Krishna's plan rather than their plan. Now, a very nice example of that and an inspiration for us is, have a guess who? Huh? Yeah, Prabhupada. So today is the day that Prabhupada reached America. And there's a wonderful poem that I wanted to read to that Prabhupada wrote that I thought we could. I read it last night before I went to bed. And I wanted to read it now because it's obviously appropriate. The poem is called Markine Bhagavat Dharma, which means, what does Markine mean? Where's the Bengalis here? Markine Bhagavat Dharma, teaching Krishna consciousness in America. Markine must mean some distributing, teaching Bhagavat Dharma. My dear Lord Krishna, of course, this is written in Bengali. Yeah. See Appendix 4, complete Bengali verses, which I won't attempt to. There it is. Yeah, because. Yeah. There's Prabhupada's original Bengali. My dear Lord Krishna, you were so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. Oof. I mean, there's just so, I mean, you just meditate on one of these verses, right? Just amazing. To see Prabhupada's humility. Huh? Prabhupada knew why he was there. Why would he bother to go to all of that effort? You know, nearly died after 2 or 3 heart attacks. And, you know, going to how many rupees did Prabhupada have? 40 rupees or something? 40 rupees. How many of you left India to come to Australia with only 40 rupees? Huh? You must have had more than 40 rupees. 40 rupees. What? In this day and age, what's 40 rupees? That's just a little bit over a dollar. in those days, you know, it might have been a bit more, but still, then again, not very much. And you know how Prabhupada, you know how long Prabhupada's visa was when he came to America? How long was the visa that Prabhupada had? Huh? No. 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 2 months. 2 months. That's all he had. He had a 2-month visa. So maybe that's why he was saying, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here." It, you know, and we can see it from, we can look at, like, we know Prabhupada knew why he was there. But why was he in this particular location? Right? Why this particular place? Could have been any other place. Huh? Like, you know, when the students at La Trobe University were trying to disrupt Prabhupada's lecture, and at the end they were asking questions, you know, they were saying that Prabhupada was, you know, like in America, they were saying, "Oh, yeah, you're a CIA agent, you know, you're coming here from America," and there was very much an anti-American sentiment. And then Madhavisa, then Swami, you know, when somebody asked him, you know, why did you come here from America? Prabhupada said, "Look, if you'd given him a ticket to come to Australia, he would have come here." So, but Prabhupada's saying, you know, why did you bring me to this particular place? To America, to basically to New York. Why not to London, or why not to, you know, some other location? "Now you can do whatever you like with me." So it's a very surrendered soul. "But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place?" "Most of the population here is Rajastamo Gune Era Sabai Achana. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied." This is what we were talking about in the previous verse. "And therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva." Sound familiar? Huh? Book distributors out on the street trying to distribute books to people who don't have any taste for spiritual life. "And therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it." "But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic." Right? So Prabhupada had great faith in Krishna. "I don't know why you brought me here, this particular place, but I know that you must have some business here. There must be some reason for me being here." Even though this is a terrible place, and nobody has any interest in spiritual life whatsoever. Rajas, what is it? Rajas Tamo Gune Era. Everybody's infected by the modes of Raja and Tama. "How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I am simply praying for your mercy, so that I will be able to convince them about your message." Huh? "All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion." So Prabhupada is saying, you know, you allow everybody to fall into Maya, but at the same time, because of that, you can also release them, or allow their release. You allow the material energy to cover them. You can also make it that the material energy releases them. Huh? "I wish you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message." So you can see how, as a devotee, Prabhupada is saying, you know, if this is your desire, then I wish that you deliver them, knowing that, you know, he's just a servant, and ultimately whatever facility he has, ultimately it's coming from Krishna. Very deep meditation from Prabhupada. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And then Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavatam. Srimatam sva kata krishnas punya shravana kirtanaha vidyantastohiya badrani vidunoti suritsatam. Nashta prayashava padreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama sloke bhakti bhavati noishtiki tadara jastamo bhava kamala lobha dayaschaye cheta etair anavidham stitam satve prasidati evam prasano manaso bhagavad bhakti yoga taha bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate vidyate vidaya grantis chidyante sarva samsayaha chiyante chasya karmani drishta eva manishvare. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So Prabhupada had great, you know, what did Prabhupada bring with him? He only had 40 rupees, but he had two trunks of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he brought with him the Bhagavatam. I was reading yesterday, actually, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj in his memoirs mentioned how he heard Prabhupada say one day, you know, we should become servants of the Bhagavat. Meaning we should become servants of the Bhagavatam. We should read the Bhagavatam every day. And absorb its message, its meaning, the mood of the Bhagavatam, and then serve that. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service under the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed, and loving service under the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. At the time loving service is established in the heart, the modes of passion, rajas, and ignorance, tamas, and lust and desire, calm, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes happy. Cheta etar anavid hum stitam sattve prasidati. Thus established in the mode of goodness, the man rejuvenated by loving service of the Lord gains liberation from material association, mukti, mukta sangasya jayate, and comes to know scientifically of the personality of Godhead. Thus the knots of the heart and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions, karma, is terminated when one sees the self as master. Self meaning the Paramatma. He will become liberated, this is back to the Bengali, he will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion. And thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. Now if he hears that, if people, so this was Prabhupada was saying, if it's your desire that these persons be liberated, then please liberate them. And then he's saying, here's the means by which they'll become liberated, by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, deciding and hearing the Bhagavatam, then the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance will become mitigated and goodness will arise in the heart automatically. And here's his plea. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate. Yeah. Kudra ami dina hina kono shakti nahi. I am unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Shakti nahi means I have no power, no potency. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Shakti nahi. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. You know, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jaya, Jayo, Labha, Labho. In victory or defeat, in fame and or dishonor. So Prabhupada's in that mood. Whether I'm successful or not, let me just render the service. I'll leave it up to you. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. I have to say that's one of my favourite poems. It's really reveals Prabhupada's, you know, heart. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Professor Nandini. Speak up just a little bit louder because I'm having. Yeah. Yes. To give up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. We don't really have prem. Well, that's not what the Shastra says. That's not what the Chaitanya Charitamrita says. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunoi. He says that it's there in the heart. Well, that's a translation, but proper. So in one sense, but we're not connected to it. That's true. So in that sense, even though it may be residing within the heart, we're lost to it. Right? And we need the association of the devotees to rekindle or reconnect with that original position, our original. And Prabhupada does say, you know, we're like a person who's asleep in bed, dreaming that we're, you know, Napoleon Bonaparte or whatever it is that we're doing. And that we have to wake up to realize our original self. So that's the example also that Prabhupada gives us. You know, we're the original identity of the living entity in the spiritual realm exists within us, or it is us actually, but we're thinking we're something external or beyond, outside of that. And when we're awake, when we're reawakened or awakened to ourselves, then we discover our identity. So it means it has to be there, right? So that's But, for all intents and purposes, it may as well not be there because we're not connected to it. And the means by which we get reconnected is through the mercy of a devotee. Prabhupada gives the example of how Krishna is the powerhouse, and we need to get connected to the powerhouse, and the means by which we get connected is through the via medium of the spiritual master. And we get plugged in by connecting to him. And the spiritual master manifests in different forms, all equal. Right? There's the Vartma Pradashika Guru, there's the Siksha Guru, and then there's the Diksha Guru. So Krishna manifests in a form of the spiritual master via his Vartma Pradashika form, the person who shows us the way to Krishna consciousness, then the Siksha Guru, those devotees who instruct us, and then the Diksha Guru. So Krishna then connects us in that way. The formal connection is with the Diksha Guru. The practical instructions on how to make progress in spiritual life come from the Siksha Guru. And the Vartma Pradashika Guru is the person who first shows us the way to Krishna consciousness. Now each one of those persons is considered to be a manifestation of Krishna. So through the devotees, Krishna fulfills those, you know, that connecting role. Right? So he does it. And then by getting the kripa or the mercy of the devotees in that fashion, we then, you know, then Krishna actually reveals himself. And that's explained in the 434. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyati dejyanam gyaninas tatvadasanaha. So we meet the spiritual master, and the spiritual master then teaches us. Right? It may be that, and that's, you know, the devotee who we first meet. And he teaches us how to be a devotee, right? Then the other Siksha Gurus, they teach us how to be a devotee. And the Diksha Guru says, yes, here's how you be a devotee, and it gives initiation. Then Krishna says, pranipatena, by being submissive, and inquisitive, how do I serve Krishna? And then when we receive the instructions, here's how you serve Krishna, and you actually do it, sevaya. Then Krishna says, I reveal myself through, it's like a mystical process. You serve the guru and the guru's instructions, and then Krishna reveals himself. Krishna is revealed. And along with that, you know, we also then see ourselves. We recognize and identify ourselves and our relationship with him. They're like a mystical process. So, you know, on the one hand we can say it's not there, but then the Shastra says it is there. So we can also understand that it is lying dormant. And, you know, Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is the natural, right, it's the natural, it's not an imposition. It's not something that comes from without, is it? Prabhupada says it's a natural, what does he say? What's that? Yeah, it's a natural constitution, it's the constitutional position. Anything else?
Also, your point, I guess, is a nice example of wood, the nature of fires in the wood.
Yeah. That's another example from the, yeah, very good example.
Yes. Of winter, it can't.
Yeah. No, that's. Yeah. Fire is in wood. And you know, Prabhupada gives the example of the mode of ignorance, and the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. And how, you know, the mode of ignorance is just a dull piece of wood. And then mode of passion is more like the smoking wood. You know, there's the potential for fire, but it's not full, it's not realized. But then when there's the blazing fire, then that's like the, you know, that's the state in which one can become totally purified and can realize one's spiritual identity. Okay. Can somebody do me a favor and get me a tissue from the paraphernalia room, please? Yeah.
Same point.
Yeah.
I was getting another lecture when you were just the question, and the answer is explained that seal is given by Krishna only. This is there, but spiritual master comes and activates.
Yeah. 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 It's because there are a number of examples given. That's good. It's amazing how much mucus the body can create. Because there is another example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, now that you mention it. Brahmanda Bhumi Tekuna Bhagavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Boy Bhakti Lata Beej, which explains how, you know, the spiritual master implants a seed of bhakti within the heart through his instructions. So, you know, that sort of gives the image of the fact that it's not there and is placed there by a devotee. So there are different, obviously, you know, there are different explanations to give the idea of what's required to, you know, what shall we say? As you say, activate the program. Yeah, the programming's there. But by the same token, you know, we can say, well, it's not there. If we haven't activated, it's not there. But yeah, the Shastra seems to indicate that the potential is certainly there. Back to Godhead. Huh? Not forward to Godhead, back to Godhead. And back to Godhead gives us an indication that we were there once. Right? You know, there's this argument about the living entity didn't come from Vaikuntha, but comes from the Brahman. Because nothing can fall from Vaikuntha. Right? Just to throw another curly one in the works. But really, you know, these examples are given to illustrate how to basically get out of the material world and go back to Godhead. Anything else? That's a good example. So we can meditate on Prabhupada's coming to the West. You know, we wouldn't have the process of Srimatam Sva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. We wouldn't have the Punya Shravana Kirtana, the hearing and the chanting that purifies us, that reawakens the Krishna consciousness that we already have, that we've forgotten basically. Huh? It wasn't for Prabhupada undergoing this, the austerity, you know, we have the comfortable, you know, temple with Radha Vallabha and Gaurinitya and Jagannath and all of the devotees, and you know, we can go to breakfast now and have prasadam. Don't have to worry about cooking anything, right? Don't have to worry about it. Somebody else does it for us. Prabhupada, you know, had nothing. Nothing. Effectively. Well, he had the Bhagavatam. and 40 rupees, but you know, just, and he didn't know where he was going. Could you imagine that? Get off the boat, Prabhupada says, when he got off the boat and he walked down the plank, he didn't know whether he turned left or right, or, I don't know if you've experienced, you know, when you're travelling internationally, especially when you're in a foreign country, you know, like, when we arrived in Italy, we landed in the Bergamo airport, and sort of like, everything's in Italian, and like, whoa, what's going on here? And especially in France, you know, that's really freaky because they're all speaking French. Or in Italy, everybody's speaking Italian, and you think, whoa, I'm in trouble. Because Prabhupada spoke English, so I guess it wasn't that bad. But he didn't, you know, he didn't know where to go. He didn't know the people that he was going to stay with. And he only had a 2-month visa. That's just amazing. Okay, Kandraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanam Nirvana.